Development. And tonight's lesson will be more of an encouragement. Not sure if you're going to really learn anything. If anything, be reminded of what you already know. You remember when Paul established the church at Macedonia in Acts 16? You remember when the Lord opened up Lydia's heart, the first 10 verses there, and she obeyed the gospel. The Lord opened up her heart to the preaching of the gospel that Paul was preaching. It's amazing what happened there, because shortly after that, we find Paul and Silas thrown in prison. Remember, there was a little girl of divination there, and he had had enough of her. Next thing you know, they're in prison because of that, and a great earthquake took place, a miracle took place there, and, well, Paul, well, he saved that jailer's life. Do thyself no harm, we're all here. He runs up to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a great question. People ought to be asking that question today, but it's not a question that's normally asked today. But you remember, all of those things took place, and the jailer watched Paul and Silas with stripes, and the next thing you know, he and his household they're baptized into Christ. The church at Philippi is now up and going. But there's some time kind of went on. Third missionary journey, it's about 62 A.D., and now Paul finds himself in prison. And, well, he's writing back to the brethren at Macedonia. As a matter of fact, one thing we know about the church at Macedonia, Paul had a mutual love for them as they for him. And one thing that Paul did often, well, he talked to God on their behalf. Can you imagine being in a Roman jail cell and you find yourself and the only thing that's on your mind is God? Well, as he's talking to God, of course, he's thinking about the brethren at Macedonia. You look in the book of Philippians chapter 1, and you'll see some things that are very powerful there, because in verse number 3, we find that Paul is going to God on behalf of the brethren at Philippi. He's thanking God for every remembrance of them. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul going to God on your behalf, thinking about you? All right, this is powerful. Let me give you the title of this lesson. I didn't even give it to you. I got so excited and went straight to my introduction. But when we consider moral development, part of moral development is pressing toward the mark. Paul, he's going to God on their behalf. And in verse number 5, he's thanking God for their fellowship. But fellowship where? In that verse, he says fellowship in the gospel. The more I thought about this, I thought about, well, what's the gospel? Well, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Again, think of the scourging that Jesus went through, the battering that he went through. They spat upon him. All of the things that made the gospel what it is today for us. He says, I thank y'all for fellowshipping with me in that. He's going to God on their behalf, and he's thanking God for these things. And notice in verse number 6, in essence, Paul is telling them, y'all hang in there because God started this with you. He's not going to quit on you. Therefore, don't quit on him. In Hebrews 13, in verse number 5, there the Hebrews writer tell those brethren that are going back into Judaism, he tells them, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what he's also teaching? Don't leave God nor forsake God. So he says, the good work that God starts in you, he will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. But then you go to chapter 4, and, well, Paul is thanking these brethren for their love, the love that they had for him. And he understood, according to verse number 10 to verse number 20, that they really wanted to help him, but they lacked opportunity. They wanted to help him. They were a poor congregation. As a matter of fact, Paul would use the church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi, as an object lesson, because the church at Corinth did not want to help Paul in the gospel. As a matter of fact, he brings up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he tells them, y'all are muzzling the ox that tread out the corn. Y'all don't even want to take care of me. So he brings up the church at Macedonia in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4 and 5, and he says to them that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us. Powerful. But Paul is esteeming these brethren that the way that he is, and he's letting them know that I understood that you really wanted to help me, but you lacked opportunity. But one thing that you did do, look at verse 14 of chapter 4, he says, you shared in my distress. You know, one thing that I learned this past weekend is that when you share in the distress of people, they will remember you when they come out of their distress. Jesus was always there for people at the lowest point of their life. Here we see that Paul says, y'all shared in my distress. Verse 15 and 16, notice of chapter 4, if you're keeping up, notice when he says, when no one else would share, you did. But notice, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my needs. Friends, this was a congregation that had their priorities in order. What does this have to do with moral development? You know, when our ideals and beliefs, the things that govern our lives are not in line with God and His Word, when we find people who are in distress, who are in need, who are in want, we won't go to their aid because they're not in line with God. But these individuals were in line with God. But then we see in verse number 18, Brother Popejoy, that their sacrifice, their helping Paul, was a sweet aroma to the nostril of God. You know, when we do things for people, when we're sacrificing for our brethren, when we're helping those who are in need, when we see our neighbor who has wants and we fulfill those things, it's a sweet sacrifice unto our God. There's a lot to be said about this. We must go on. So, Paul's in prison. And he understood that the brethren needed encouragement. Yet we go back to chapter 1, and Paul is in essence telling the brethren there at Philippi, I understand that there are some preachers out there, they're preaching the truth, they're preaching Christ, but they think they're doing this, adding affliction to my chains. Paul said, I'm just glad that they're preaching Christ. You know, that's something for us as we ask gospel preachers. You know, people, brethren out there might not have the right attitude, but since God is morally developing us as well as preachers, we need to have the right attitude. They may not be doing things right, but as long as they're preaching Christ, I don't have anything to do with that. But notice what Paul says in verse 17. Some versions is verse 16, but in verse 17, he says, I have been set or I have been appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul was focused. What do you think that he was teaching the brethren at Philippi? I am focused. Doesn't matter what they're saying, what they're doing toward me, as long as they're preaching Christ, I'm focused on Jesus Christ. Y'all stay focused as well. You know, every now and then we need someone to come around and say, stay focused. But then verses 19 through 26, well, Paul is discouraged. You know, every now and then we find ourselves like this. Notice what he says in verse number 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Hard pressed between the two. Paul, what's the problem here, Paul? I have a desire to depart and go be with Christ. But be here is far greater. As a matter of fact, it's necessary for you. You know what Paul is saying? I'm not going to be selfish and say, you know what, I just want to go home and be with the Lord. If it's needful for me to be here with you, that's what I'm going to do. And that's who I'm going to be. And the more I thought about this, I thought about the selflessness of Paul, the apostle. Yet, we find some things that are very powerful, because as Paul is demonstrating these things, we see in chapter 3 in verse number 17, y'all stay focused on my example. What example? You know, the same word for noting those in verse 17 is the same word in Romans 16, 17, mark those who cause division among you. Same word. Hold on. We do that all the time. I'm about to go out on vacation. Is there a sound congregation in the California area that I can go to? Sure is. Contact so-and-so. Contact brother so-and-so at the so-and-so Church of Christ. That's a sound congregation. They preach the truth. They practice the doctrine. Paul said, note those who are a great example. You know, he also goes on to say in verse 18 and 19, watch out for false teachers. And then verses 20 and 21, everything that has meaning to us is wrapped up in our citizenship. Friends, where is your citizenship? Is it here in San Angelo, Texas? Is it in the United States of America? It all depends on how America is doing, depends on how I'm doing as a Christian. No sir and no ma'am. Keep in mind, where is Paul in prison? I don't think that many of us would be writing this type of note if we were in prison. We'll be trying to figure a way to get out of prison. Can you bail me out? Deny the Lord. I can't do that. Well, you keep me here long enough, deprive me of sleep. Maybe I might think about it. Not Paul. Not Paul. Paul said, my citizenship is in heaven. For once I look for the Savior. Friends, that should be our attitude as well. That we need to stay focused on Jesus. But then look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We understand that if we're going to be successful, that we need to be looking to Christ. In verse number 5, it says, have this mind. What is this mind? Esteeming others better than self. What does this have to do with moral development? Everything. Because the way that I see Christ is going to be how I treat my brethren, how I treat my brother and sister, how I treat my neighbor, how I even treat myself. Friends, it's all about moral development. It's all about the beliefs and the ideas and the ideologies that we have that should come from Jesus Christ, should come from the Spirit's teaching. Notice what he says. Y'all have time? I mean, the Cowboys already won, so ain't nothing else for y'all to go do, right? My little study of the Word. Notice what the Bible says. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affections and mercy, fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. One of the hardest things to do is to fulfill that verse. You know how much humility it takes, how much selflessness it takes for us to do that? You know, when we can conquer that, at least begin to grow in this particular area, our relationship with one another, our relationship with our enemies, our relationship with our spouses, our relationship with brethren will enhance if we can just get this down. Because Paul is saying, y'all have to do this. Oh, then he fast forwards to Euodia and Syntyche in chapter 4. But here he says in verse number 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. And then he says, let this mind. You know, for the first, I guess, 5-10 years of my Christianity, I used to always think, what is this mind of Christ he's talking about? Oh, well, read the first 4 verses and you'll figure it out. The mind of Christ of putting others before self. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us by going to the cross for us, by giving his life, thus pleasing the Lord. Then he says, y'all be the light. Y'all see verse 15? Shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Shine. You know, the greatest time of shining is when things are dark around you. You know, things are dark in America. Shouldn't we be shining as Christians? Shouldn't our speech be seasoned with salt and being with grace seasoned with salt? The answer is yes. Let's get to the lesson. All that was just introductory material. It's something for us to think about. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, here is the crux of what we want to talk about concerning moral development. What will it take? What is the challenge for us? What is Paul telling the brethren at Philippi? He's in a Roman jail cell. He's in this jail cell and he's talking to them and he's giving thanks to God. He's remembering everything about them. He loves them and he knows that they love him. So he encourages them by saying, our confidence is in Christ and not in the law of Moses. That's where our confidence is. Beware of dogs. Beware of those who are trying to submit you or get you to remain or go under the law to Moses. He said, beware of those type of people. You know, we ought to beware of anybody who's trying to take us back into the life that we came up out of. I was talking to Mike the other day. I was taking him to practice. We was talking about false teachers. I think that's what we was talking about. I said, it's a travesty, friends, when a gospel preacher, so-called, will bring in innovations that are denominationally laced, and people come out of that, and then they're teaching them the very things that they came up out of. They're taking them back into something that God brought them out of. One thing that God hates is for people to leave him and go back into a situation that I brought you up out of. What did he bring us up out of? Sin. He said, beware of those type of people. So our confidence is in Christ, not in our past, not in the law. Verses 4-7, my confidence is not in what makes me who I am socially or secularly, but it's in who I am spiritually, Jesus. Notice verses 4-7. Y'all turn there and look at those. He says in verse number 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Notice the pedigree that Paul brings up. Circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted what for Christ, friends? Loss. They mean absolutely nothing. It's amazing when people are stuck in the past. They always talk about the past. But we got to get to a point where it's not about the past, secularly, socially, but it's about moving forward spiritually. I praise God that when I go to him in prayer and I ask God to forgive me for my sins, 1 John 1 and verse 7-9, he's faithful and just to forgive me. What if God was always keep our past in front of us? Remember you did this, remember you did that, remember you did that. And sometimes you can't get people to stop living in the past. And God has a bright and great future for us. But notice, verses 8-11, four things Paul wanted. I love these four things. Number one, in verse number 8, I count all things loss. Why, Paul? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'm just going to give all of that up that I may know him. I want to know Jesus. Verse number 9, I want to be found in Jesus. You know, if Jesus was to come right now, where will you be found? It's a good question. It's a great question. Where will we be found? Paul said, I wanted to be found in him. Found in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from God by faith. Notice verse 10. What else do you want, Paul? I want to know him. This is an intimate relationship. The word know there is knowledge upon knowledge. I want to know not just the good things about Christ, but I want to know the sufferings of Christ. When I am, my back is against a wall spiritually and I gotta make a decision between other people and my God. Situations and my God. My job and my God. I'm gonna choose God. I'm gonna choose Jesus. I wanna know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's the fourth thing that Paul wanted to be conformed to the death of Christ. No, Jesus, I love that you went about in healing and talking good things to people and giving people encouragement, but you talking about taking a beating? I don't know about that, Jesus. You know who took a beating for the Lord? Paul did. On numerous occasions, Paul took a beating. read what took place in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul took a beating. Friends, sometimes we may have to take a beating. Let's praise God that we haven't had to take a beating physically so far. I believe that day is coming. So three things that's going to require for us to continue our development in Christ, verses 12 through 16. Now, I said all that to get to this point, Brother Randy. I mean, I could have easily just went to those verses, exegeted those passages, gave a couple points, and you know what? We could have called it a night, but no. How did we get there? What was Paul dealing with? What was the mindset that Paul had? What was the situation that he was in? Where did they begin and where are they going to end? Right here. Verses 12 through verse 16. Number one, in verse number 12, Paul was not satisfied with his growth at that particular time. Therefore, he kept laying hold. What? Paul? An apostle? One sent from God to talk to man, to encourage man, to admonish man, to rebuke man, to give man the word. Paul said, I still have some things to grow in. Yes. You know, the last thing we want is to always talk to someone and you tell them something. They always try to one up you. Y'all like those type of people? No. You did this and they done it better. Not Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul went in the opposite direction. Notice what he says, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. There it is. But I press on that I may lay hold. Paul said, I'm grabbing hold and I'm grabbing and I'm not going to let go. But Paul, what are you going to grab hold on? I'm going to grab hold of that which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. Paul, what are you saying? I want to grab hold to Jesus just as much as he has grabbed hold to me. Wow. Jesus summed it up like this in John chapter 15 and verse number 14. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Jesus was willing to give his life for us, thus laying hold of us. We have to reciprocate it by keeping his commandments and therefore laying hold on him. Number two, verse 13 and 14. Not only should we keep laying hold, but we ought to keep stretching. You know, one thing that if you're working out, you guys should do some stretching before you start lifting, start running. You can hurt something, right? Is that right? Okay. My workouter says, yeah. Is that a word, workouter? I just baptized it, so it's all good. He said, I'm stretching. Notice the verse there. Why y'all look like y'all sleep? Come on now, y'all wake up. We're studying the Word of God. This is good stuff right here. Notice what he says here. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What are you doing, Paul? Number one, I forget those things which are behind. Number two, I'm reaching forward to those which are ahead. Number three, I press toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Number one, we see the word stretching or the word reaching. It literally means to use every fiber in your being to stretch toward the mark. Paul is saying, I'm using everything within me to reach forward. And sometimes, Brother Pojoy, I don't give my best. You know what, friends? God gave his best. We ought to give our best. We ought to stretch and we ought to use every fiber in our muscle to get forward and go forward and do what God wants us to do. So he says, I stretch. But then he said, I press. The word there is the word scope in English. He said, I got Christ in my scope. You know, sometimes we're about to go do a little deer hunting. I'm excited about that. And I hope they give me one of them rifles with a scope on it. Cause I'm going to make sure that I make sure. And I'm going to come home with something, mama. And we're going to process that thing. We're going to have some deer meat. But what if I got a tree in my scope? What if I got a squirrel in my scope? I go out there and shoot at a squirrel, and them brothers might run me out of there. You're going to make all that noise for a squirrel? We're out here to shoot deer. Question, who's in your scope? Is it Jesus or something or someone else? That's a good teacher right there. Let me go ahead and shut this down. I'm getting too happy. Friends, what's in your scope? Who's in your scope? Paul says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Number three, I keep growing, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, let us. I love how Paul would use the phrase, let us. You'll be amazed how many times that phrase is used by this man. He is not pompous. He is not arrogant. He always includes everyone in the equation, himself as well. We're in this together. He says, let us. Hold on, Paul. You're an apostle. If anybody, you ought to be kind of talking down on us. He said, no, we're in this together. Let us. As many as are mature, growing up. Let's keep growing. Have this mind. What mind? The mind to press toward. The mind to keep reaching. The mind to keep on forgetting. Let us. Let's do this together. Friends, none of us are going to go to heaven by ourselves. You know who we need? Each other. Let us keep growing together. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, notice, let us do what, Paul? Walk by the same rule. The word rule there is canon. Let us all go by the same canon. Should we all go by the same word? Should we all use the word of God, the same standard? Isn't that the issue we have in our land today? We have people with different standards, different moral standards, different development standards, but God has given us one standard. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us, there it is, be of the same mentality, same views. Is it possible for us to think alike? It is possible. Here's the problem. We don't want to. We can think like Christ. You know why we can? Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then Paul says, let us mind the same things. Let us have the same rule. Let us have the same mentality, which says that if all of us are thinking like Christ, we can be one. So, moral development. How are your morals? Are you developing them? Are you getting better? Every day when we go to bed, we ought to ask God to forgive us for the wrong that we have done, continue to bless us in the right that we have done, and tomorrow, Lord willing, if I get to see another day, let me look more and be more like your son, Jesus. And let me be a light to a dark world. Let us have a word of prayer, and then I'll give the invitation. Great God and Father, you're such a great God to us, and we're thankful for you and to you, and for your son, and for the word that you have left us through thy spirit. We pray to Father that the things that we have studied and just kind of glanced over, we know your word is deep. Your word helps us, but we know, Father, that we have to pick it up and that we have to ask you for understanding, and that you will grant us that understanding as we continue to labor in your word. So Father, help us labor in it. I know we have so many things on our plates, so many things that we have to do and get done. But Father, help us to never neglect you. Help us to never neglect thy word. And help us to teach sinners thy way that they may receive the justification by faith through Jesus Christ and his blood, thus being added to the church by way of baptism. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for what he has done for us. Him having the strong mindset and the will to be willing to give up his life and take a beating the way that he did, the scourging the way that he did, yet He did it for us. And he was obedient to you. So help us to always strive for that obedience. And help us be willing to take a beating for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider moral development. And once you obey the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by way of repentance and baptism, God will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ, and live faithful even to the point of death. And you'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Don't you want to hear those words? Powerful words. But maybe you're a child of God and you're gone to sleep on the Lord. Don't do that. Think about what Paul said to the church at Rome. Don't fall asleep on him. Wake up out of sleep, for your salvation is nearer than when it first began. Let's hang in there. Let's continue to do what's right. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.